Well, amen. I do like to preach. just to kind of bury myself in the Word right now, kind of forget all the other things, and just open God's Word and try to give you something helpful from God. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And it is a special day. We think of mothers. Hopefully there aren't any children today that are like, ah, that's right, it's Mother's Day. I'll have to come up with something and pretend like I had this planned for a long time. And I was just waiting till after the busyness of the morning to give it to her. I heard about a mom who was choking down a birthday cake her younger daughter had baked for her as a surprise. As a dutiful mother, she kept a smile on her face as she ate it, all the while knowing something was bad wrong with that cake. She couldn't quite put her finger on it. The daughter was beaming with delight. "I'm so glad you like it, Mommy. There should have been 32 candles on the cake as well, but when I took it out of the oven, they were all gone." Someone said, "Motherhood is full of frustrations and challenges, but be of good cheer. Eventually they move out." So anyway, I praise God for a mom who prayed for me for years and years and still does. I covet those prayers. I praise God for a godly mother and a wife who is a godly mother to my children. And my prayer is someday my daughters can be godly mothers to their children. So I want to kind of talk to the moms today, but I'm certainly talking to everyone as well. I'm going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture. We're going to go through the whole story of the Shunammite woman, and then we'll draw some thoughts from that. So 2 Kings 4, verse 8. I think you'll really enjoy this story. I think many of us know it, but some of us may not. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." So commentators have wondered what it means to be a great woman. Was she a woman of means? Is the Bible talking about great amounts of faith? I would say both. I think God called her a great woman, and I think we're going to see many of the reasons why here today. "Someone ready and willing to be used of God because he is worthy. Only 7 people in the Bible are called great, and she is the only woman. She constrained us. There, she constrained him to eat bread." So keep a kind of train your mind. Remember that word constrained. "And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive," remember that word, "I perceive that this is an holy man of God." That was important to her. He was a holy man, "which passeth by us continually." He must have been a Baptist, because if there was food, you'd go out of your way to pass by there continually. She says in verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber." So possibly the earliest prophet's chamber there. It's nice. Churches like to have a prophet's chamber. So as people in full-time Christian service are passing through, they can have a comfortable place to rest up and get some refreshment. And that goes back to this woman here that saw a need and wanted to meet it. "I pray thee, let us build this chamber on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he," that's Elisha, "said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. So there she is standing before Elisha and Gehazi. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. It's amazing. What possesses you to be so kind? All this care. And of course, the question kind of comes up, why do you do it? Why do you do it? You do this service, why do you do it? And what do you want? What is to be done for thee, he asked. Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? I can put in a good word to the king or the captain of the host. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Which was her way of saying, I'm content just to be who and where I am and to be a help when I can. And he said, what then is to be done for her? So he's talking to Gehazi now. And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And I don't. It sounds like it could be a little bit of a rebuke here, but in some ways you say, no way, or get out of Dodge. Something like, you're kidding. There's some of that there too. Verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, so he wasn't an infant, but he certainly wasn't a man yet. You'll see that here in a moment. He's still a little boy, but he's able to run around and do different things. It fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. So he's out there just watching dad and the reapers do their work. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said unto a lad. So again, a young man, carry him to his mother. So again, he's not real big. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. The boy had gone. But the story continues. Verse 21. And she went up and laid him on a bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And she said, wherefore? And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. It shall be well. There was some faith. I think that's part of why she was a great woman. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. When your son dies, can you go forward? We heard a great message, didn't we, Pastor Starr? Exodus 14. What do you do when you're backed into a corner? When the Egyptian army is behind you and the Red Sea is in front of you, what do? Well, you go to God. And when he says you go forward, you go forward. Her son was dead. She could have said, Lord, I served you and you gave me this joy and you took it from me. I'm done. I'm done serving you. But she didn't serve God to get a little boy. She served God because God was worthy. So she went and came unto the man of God, verse 25, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, this is the title of the message today, is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? He asked three questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then he said, Then she said, did I not desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid his staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and he laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked to the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. Must have been springtime. The child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when he was come into the house, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. 3 questions today, and we see them there in verse 26. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? Let's pray as we look at these things. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. And I just pray that I would not be the center of attention in any way this morning. Lord, I'm asking that you would speak through me. Lord, as we all know, my mind can trip over itself. But I pray, Lord, that your messages come forth clearly. Lord, speak to this room. There's folks in here that need you. Lord, we all do. Pray that you bless, guide, and direct. Speak to hearts. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. These really are big questions, aren't they? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? How's your marriage doing? Is it well with thy son? How are your children doing? First question, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy soul? You, how are you doing today, personally? Is it well with thee? You, moms in particular, but everyone in this room, how are you doing today? I just came back last week, and I was out with Pastor Sins out in Idaho, and we flew out there and flew back. And as you know, one of the things they say during the safety briefing is when the oxygen masks fall, there may be people around you that you want to assist with their masks. But before you do that, get your mask on first. Because if you try to help somebody out and you pass out, you can't help them or yourself. Make sure there's oxygen flowing. And then you can go help. How are things with you today? Boy, moms love to look after other people, don't they? Mom, but how is it doing with you today? Are you truly saved? Not just a feeling that someday you'll stand before God and things will be fine. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you a new creature? Are you? Can you say, yes, God has transformed me. And because of that, because of what he has done, I'm ready to stand before him. Old things passed away. All things become new. Have you passed from death to life? Have you been transformed by Jesus into a new creature? The Bible uses the same word that we use for metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly to reference this. I'm not asking you if you feel good about Jesus. That won't make you ready for heaven. I'm not asking if you've surrendered your heart to Jesus. That won't make you ready for heaven. I'm asking if the Holy Spirit has shown you of your sinfulness and you understood that Jesus died to save you. Have you trusted him, understanding that he is your only hope? And that he is the very Son of God, being God the Son. Have you trusted him to do the work of salvation? And you've allowed him to make you into that new creature. Are you born again? Moms and everyone in this room. And if not, toward the end of this time, there'll be a time of invitation where our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. There'll be some men down here. Boy, if you just come down and say, "Sir, would you find someone to tell me how I can know for sure I'm saved? I want to be ready to meet God someday when I stand before Him." If you're not saved, things are not well. Things are not well. It's not a matter of, "Yeah, things are fine," and you know they aren't. We all do that, don't we? You can be as sick as a dog and say, "How you doing? Good." And you mustered what little bit of energy you had to say, "Good." You're sick as a dog, but it's kind of a quick response we give, isn't it? But things are not well if you've never allowed God to make you that new creature. You're bound for a Christless and flaming hell. Do not presume upon His mercy. You may not have to the end of this service. Cry out to God, "Lord, I want to know what it means to be saved." She had a personal, genuine faith. She was that new creature. She was trusting God. She didn't do these things in order to go to heaven. She did these things because she belonged to God and loved Him and wanted to please Him. There's a big difference. She had means, sure, but she had amazing faith. She said in verse 23, "It shall be well." Her son was dead, and yet she said, "It shall be well." How do you say that when your son is dead? Well, you have a God who isn't. Amen. She had peace that passed understanding. She had a faith that pressed. "I want to be a blessing." Back there in verse 8, she constrained him to eat bread. Constrained means that at first he was like, no, I don't want to impose. Right? Men love to eat food. But, you know, the polite thing, you know, "Hey, go back for seconds." "No, okay." All right, she constrained him. And he's saying, no, I don't want to impose. And she's like, "I insist." She constrained him to eat bread. And it wasn't for extra brownie points. It wasn't so karma would come back around and bless her. It was because she enjoyed being a blessing to people. It was a faith that pressed. And by the way, later it came back to her. Elisha says, "I want to do something for you." And she's like, "No, I'm content." And he goes, "No, I insist." Well, you live a life of what? "I insist. I got to be a blessing to somebody. And not for what I'll get back." Oh, God can't help Himself. He will make sure blessings come back to you. How quickly do we give up? "Lord, I'm here." Nah, you're pretty busy. "Not for you, Lord." I think He says, you know, I think He wants us to press a little bit. I don't want to impose," God might say, tongue in cheek. "Impose? God, the only reason I have breath right now is because of you." Amen. It's no imposition to serve you and give you everything I am and everything I have. A faith that pressed. Do you have a faith that presses today? "God, I'm serving. I don't want to impose." Are you kidding? It's no imposition. I wouldn't be happy if I wasn't being a blessing. She also had a faith that perceived. In verse 9, "Behold," she said to her husband, "I perceive this is a holy man of God." Now, how could she tell the difference? There were prophets of Baal wandering around. It wasn't just some religious guy. She knew the difference. Not just some religious guy. This was a holy man of God. "I perceive that there's something special about this man." Plenty of false prophets running around, but she could tell the false from the true. And boy, when you walk with Jesus, John 14:6 reminds us, He's the way, the truth, and the life. When you have a relationship with God, when you're saved and God dwells in you, boy, He helps us to know what is right and what is wrong. You can't do this without Jesus. He's the truth. We are not. Let God be true and every man a liar. You cannot figure out this life unless you're close to God. She had a walk with God. She had a genuine personal faith. And because of that, she had a perception. She could tell. She had a walk with God that was her own. Do you have a walk with God that's your own? Young people, it's not because your parents are saved. You need to come to the Lord as your Savior. God has no grandchildren. We aren't saved because our parents were saved. Each of us must come to God on our own. He was a holy man, not a funny man, not a charming man, not a handsome man. I don't know. Elisha probably just looked down and said, hey. Bible says he was a holy man, and that meant something to her. He was busy about God's business, and she said, I like that, and I want to support it. God's business is important to me. Here's a man busy about God's business. I like it, and I want to support it. I think there in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We see an example of this in this woman, a faith that pressed, a faith that perceived, and a faith that provided. Verse 10, it says, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, so the man of God could get some sleep, and a table, so the man of God could eat. I put down for alliteration, so he gets his snacks, and so he could study. A table for snacks and study. So he's got a place for sleep, a place for study, and snacks, and a stool for sitting, a place that he could just sit there, and a candlestick for seeing. She took care of him, didn't she? It shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. A faith that provided. She wanted to give. Oh, she was a channel of blessing. You know, if God loaded you up with blessings, could he trust you to be a channel of those blessings? Would it flow through you, or does it get stuck in your pocket? Can God trust you to provide? He is not limited with what he could put in your pocket, but he knows us. Will it get stuck there, or will you use it to provide? I want to be a giver in this life, she would say, not just a taker. Faith without works is dead, James chapter 2 tells us. Don't come to church and sit and soak and sour. Make sure you take what you're given and serve. Be a channel of blessing. She had a faith that provided. Next, she had a faith that was pure. It was pure. Verse 13, what is to be done for thee? I guess part of that question is, what do you want in return? Why do you do this? And in verse, a little bit later, she says, I dwell among my own people. The blessing of being a blessing is its own blessing. And I'm satisfied with that. I don't serve to get. I serve because he is worthy. Boy, moms are special people, aren't they? A mom is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie left and there are five people, she promptly declares, oh, you know, I never did care for pie. You guys take it. I'm not interested. Moms are special people. But boy, moms that are close to Jesus, oh boy, watch out. That pure faith. And it's not just for moms. Young people, learn about that pure faith. Serve just because he's worthy. Don't have that spirit of, well, I've been coming to this church for this many years, and I by now I have expectations from this place. Oh, do you serve to get, or do you serve because he's worthy? Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I'm going to serve because he's worth it. Can you serve unseen by any except God? I just don't get the thanks I feel like I deserve for all I do. Is that why you serve? Being thankful, sure, it's a good thing. But is that why you serve? To be acknowledged, to be lifted up? Boy, years ago when Claire was smaller, it was a Sunday and choir practice was getting done. And my wife said, Claire, I want you to go down between choir being done and church starting and find some older people to fellowship with. Just talk to them. Just talk to them. And so she said, okay. So she came down, and there was Carl Bain sitting there waiting for church to start. And so Claire came up to him and started shooting the breeze. It was about the time, I think it was during candy sale, and so he wondered why she was talking to him. Why are you, you know, he's thinking she's here for a candy sale donation. And so that's why she's talking, and she's having a hard time broaching the topic. So they're just, again, shooting the breeze. And finally, he's like, I got to help her out. She's having a hard time getting to the point. Claire, why are you talking to me? And she said, oh, because my mom said, go talk to old people. And he's like, you tell your mother, I am not old. Here the man of God is saying, what do you want? Why are you doing this? Let me help you get to the point. What is it you're doing this for? What's your ulterior motive? I don't have any. I just want to serve. I just want to be used of God. Next, she had a faith that persisted. When her son died, she didn't give up, did she? Go forward. Go forward. She brought her son to the man of God. She saddled an ass, verse 24, and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me. If I'm uncomfortable, I don't care. It isn't about me. Let's get there. Let's make haste. Slack. Don't slow down. If it looks like I'm being bounced around too much, keep going unless I bid thee. I'm not giving up on my child. Oh, praise God for a mom like that. Secondly, the second question, is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy spouse? Is it well with thy soul? Is it well with thy spouse? How is your marriage doing? Now, we don't know about this man, do we? She keeps going to him with these ideas, and he's busy with, you know, the fields and those things. Even the boy comes out. He's like, my head! And he's like, go see your mother. And I get that. except I am kind of, I'm the one that, if we're going to open the medicine cabinet, I make sure we're not overdosing people. So I do take care of that part. But a lot of times, I do have a little sign on my desk in the basement that says, go ask your mother. And it's, I think we found it somewhere, but I'm like, ah, that is funny. Go ask your mother. We don't know. Here's this man, he's providing for his home. I don't know if he's disinterested in spiritual things. Maybe there's other spiritual things he's interested in, and we're only seeing the spiritual things she's interested in for the sake of this story. I don't know everything about this man. It does seem like maybe he's overly concerned. Maybe, you know, sometimes men will have the thinking, well, I bring home the check and she takes care of the spiritual things. I don't know for sure, but if that's in your home, men, step up. Step up. It seemed possibly he was more concerned with the crop than his child. I don't know. It seems like it could be. More concerned about his business than his boy. More concerned about the farm than his family. But did she live? Did he say, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Did she say, well, it's well with me, but my husband's pretty sorry? No, what did she say? It is well. It is well. She didn't say, I've got an awful husband. She was grateful for the husband she had. Not like a Nabal and Abigail type situation, like, my husband's a fool. None of that. She said, it is well. She was content with the husband God had given her, and she served God. But, can I also tell you, she was respectful to her husband. She didn't run around like he didn't matter. You see in the story, she kept coming to him and bouncing those ideas. Hey, let us do this. Hey, we're going to, hey. And she talked to her husband. There was respect there. And can I tell you that I think that was another reason why she was a great woman. She served a perfect God and had an imperfect husband, just like my wife. And yet she's going to serve God. That was another reason why She was a great woman. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? And the last question, is it well with the child? And she said, it is well. Did she get caught up in the various questions and answer by mistake? How is it well when he's dead? It seemed like the opposite of Mary and Martha, doesn't it? There in John chapter 11, when Lazarus died and Jesus showed up, first it was Martha, John 11, 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, Martha, there's some wonderful things there, but God didn't call her great, did he? This woman, her son was dead, and she said, it is well. It is well. Not the heart of Martha here in her grief. Verse 32, John 11, 32, Mary said the same thing. John 11, 32, Mary said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They didn't have the heart that this woman had, this great woman. And by the way, we don't even know her name. And I think that's part of her greatness. She isn't the Bible because she wanted recognition. It's her story that's a comfort to so many. Boy, moms are special, aren't they? They're like glue. Even when you can't see them, they're still holding the family together in many ways. I asked the question, do you ever wonder, you ever read this passage and you think, why? Why would you let him die, God? Is there something for me to learn? Why? Why would you let him die only to bring him back to life? Why? The son was brought to life. He was alive, and then he was dead as a little boy, and then alive again. I think he is a spiritual object lesson of what happens to us in salvation. Let me explain. There was Adam. Adam was in the garden, and God said, the day you eat of the fruit, ye shall surely die. You remember as a kid reading that? And you're like, he didn't die. He kept living. But he did die. Spiritually, he died. Spiritually, he died. He was physically alive, but spiritually, he was dead. Then, because of God, an innocent animal was slain as a picture of the innocent Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb who would be slain. And there was a covering, there was blood that was spilt, and a covering that was provided. And because of faith in what Christ would do, he was raised again in newness of life. And that's what happens. I'm saved because I was alive, and then I was dead, and I'm alive again. The Bible teaches that when you're little, Adam was innocent because of sinlessness. Tiny people are innocent because of ignorance. They just don't know. The Bible teaches that little babies, when they die, they go to heaven. I saw a little cartoon that kind of pulled my heartstrings. It was a little sea of babies there gathering around Jesus in heaven saying, is it true what they're talking about with Roe versus Wade? Is it true that maybe murdering babies won't be allowed? I hope you're praying about that. I hope you're praying about that. But something happens when a child gets old enough to understand. Paul talks about that in Romans 7, verse 9. He says, for I was alive. And I believe he's referring to when he was a little baby before he understood. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When I understood, when I came to the point where I understood that there was a holy God and my sin had offended him, but he died to make a way so I could be cleansed. When I understood that, I died until I made a choice regarding that. There came a day where God allowed me to have conviction for my sin. And I turned to the Lord Jesus. And I got saved. I trusted him to make me to that new creature. I was physically alive, but I was spiritually dead when I reached that age of understanding. Well, when I did the right thing with that understanding, not only was I physically alive, but I was spiritually alive as well. You hath he quickened, Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Little babies are innocent because of ignorance until they grow to the point. And this young man, I think the Bible indicates he was small enough to be on mom's lap. He was small enough for the lad to carry him home. I believe he's a picture of what happens when somebody gets saved. That being born again, he was brought back to life. John chapter 3, he said, you must be born again. He was brought back to life. Oh, my friend, if you're here today and you haven't been born that second time, I believe this story is for you. Sometimes we come to church. Imagine if all the things Elisha could have done besides bringing him back to life, and it was no small ordeal, was it? It wasn't, hey, wake up. Wow, what a miracle. No, he spread his body across his body, his mouth upon his mouth. It's almost like when Jesus breathed life into us back in the Garden of Eden, he breathed life again. His Holy Spirit in regenerating us and causing us to be. The child just lay there. It was a big deal for Elisha. You and I, salvation, we're trusting him to do it all. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal what he had to go through to give us that life. Oh, friend, sometimes we come to... What if she brought the boy to Elisha and said, oh, you know what? Let's dress up that corpse. Let's put him in better clothes. I think that happens at church sometimes. We have corpses. We have people that are spiritually dead walking in here and saying, maybe if I look the part, I'll be ready for heaven. Maybe I can put on a dress. I can put on a suit and a tie. Oh, my friend, we're not here to dress up corpses. What if I start sounding like the Christians? No, it's not a corpse that's going to go to heaven. Whether dressed up or sounding better or propped up or whatever you want to do, we need that new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God, this young man revived. A picture. Oh, friend, are you a corpse here today? You need to come to Jesus and let him transform you. Have you done all sorts of things to clean up your life? It doesn't matter. We don't dress up corpses. We bring corpses to the Lord Jesus and says, would you breathe life where there is spiritual death? She had great faith in a God that could do that. Will you have great faith today and let him do something special in your life? Horatio G. Spafford, he lost a lot of his wealth in the Great Chicago Fire. And as he was trying to rebuild his life, he sent his wife and family across the Atlantic Ocean, and the ship sank. He lost his children, and his wife was saved alone. His children were gone, and yet he was still able to pen these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast caused me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. This great woman of Shunem. The question is it well with thee today? If you aren't saved, you can't say it is well. If you aren't trusting, you can't say it is well. How is it with you? Is it well with thee? Would you close?